Please be seated. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be always acceptable unto thee, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. This morning's lesson, gospel lesson, has two important players or characters: the seed, which is the word of God, and the soil, which is our heart. It is important to understand how these two elements interact. First, we will talk about the seed, which is the word of God. There is an old joke that, if I am honest, is perhaps just a little bit sad. There was a man who was a social Anglican, if you know what I mean. He went to church as he pleased, but he knew the prayer book quite well. One day, a friend gave him a copy of the Bible. Of course, sadly, he had a Bible sitting on his shelf, collecting dust. But wanting to honor his friend, he decided to read a little bit of it. A few weeks later, his friend catches up with him and says, "What did you think?" And the man responds and says, "You know, it was great. And you know what was so great about it? How much it draws from the Book of Common Prayer." I'm glad you enjoyed the joke, but I hope you understand how sad our dear Anglican friend's position is. I tell you this story because, as practicing Anglicans, we are to be people of the Word. Our worship and devotional life is saturated with hearing, reading, marking, learning, and inwardly digesting the Word of God, that we may know Him better and dwell in Him more fully. Just to drive home this fact, I had a little extra time, so I figured out how much of our service is Scripture. 40 to 50% of the read words, say that 10 times fast, 40 to 50% of the read words in our service are straight out of Scripture. Whether it be the Psalms or the Canticles in morning prayer, Scripture readings, or the words of comfort, the prayer book is rich with Scripture. I know that I've preached a lot on the importance of reading Scripture, of letting it be in your minds to guide and transform you. But our parable today reminds us yet again of this theme, and it is worth stopping to think about, especially as we head into Lent. Lent is not merely a season of giving up something so that we can prove that we have a great self-will. If this is how you approach the season, you are better off not doing it. Lent is a time of growing in the grace and goodness of the Lord, of letting that grace replace those things that you have raised up as false gods, those things which you have come to hold too closely in your heart, that distract you from serving our Lord, the Sovereign God. A part of this learning is learning to delve deeper into trusting God and becoming steeped in His Word, is learning to become the plant that bears fruit 100-fold. To do this, we are to be constantly in the Word of God and letting our hearts and minds be filled with it, that it would form who we are as people. Now let us digest briefly what the Word of God is. It is not simply the text of the Bible, although that is the Word of God. If we remember the Christmas Gospel, the beautiful passage from St. John's Gospel, the first chapter, that poetically describes the Word becoming flesh, we realize that Christ is the summation of that Word. He embodies the goodness, truth, mercy, justice, and wisdom of the Lord. He is not there to destroy the law, but to complete it. So first and foremost, if we are going to have hearts that let the seeds implant and grow and put forth fruit, we must be walking with Christ. We must have a relationship with Him. The Christian faith is a dichotomy. It holds these two truths in tension with each other. Christ came to redeem for Himself a people, a church. The church is His people, set aside to serve and glorify Him. But we are not only redeemed as a body, irresponsible of our walk with him, but we must also be walking with him as individuals. It may be said that one of the problems with the American evangelical Christianity is that they have overemphasized this personal relationship with Christ. There is the belief that there is the only individual and Christ is an attitude that is an attitude. The attitude of being resolutely independent is not a helpful one. However, on the other side are those who take the Catholic approach of having which is an equally problematic view. Instead of walking with Christ in their private life, not saying all Catholics are this way, but sometimes it can be that way, just to clarify. Instead of walking with Christ in their private life, their only devotion is in the body. We need to be active members within the body of Christ, performing as the feet or mouths or ears or nose or hand. But we must also be walking with Christ in our private lives. It is not a question of either or. Christ is redeeming for himself a people, a body, but that body is made up of individuals. So as we enter Lent, our hearts and minds are being turned away from those things that we hold up as gods and get in our way with our walk with Christ. Yet the Word of God refers not only to our prayer life or thinking nice thoughts about Jesus, but delving into the holy word of God found in the Bible. There is a strange misconception that has been popping up these days. This idea that if we just pray and sit real quiet, you'll come to know Christ. He'll speak to you in that quiet. I, like many others, love my quietude, long walks alone to pray, think, and process those challenges I face, to continually offer my daily challenges to the Lord. These times are beautiful and helpful, but we must be careful of the quiet voices that periodically pop up in our mind. This may be your conscience speaking with the Holy Spirit, but it may be something more insidious. No, we come to Christ through the process of reading the Word of God. He will not contradict the words which you read, but rather challenge you to grow in his grace. There is an ancient heresy called Marcionism. Although they accepted Christ as Savior and God, they rejected the Old Testament. They believed that Christ was fundamentally different than the God which we read in the Old Testament. However, this belief flies in the face of what Christ himself taught, and which we believe as Christians. The nature of God does not change. As Christians, we believe that everything since the dawn of man has been pointing towards Christ coming into the world, where Adam failed to be a good and valid representation of God. Christ is perfectly fulfilled this role. It is in the curse of Adam that Christ was promised, and it is in dying for the sins of Adam and the whole world that he has repaired the damage that sin does to the relationship between God and man. So because of this belief, we read not only the Gospels and the Epistle, but the whole canon of Scripture. We read the histories, the prophecies, and the poetry of the Old Testament. We delve into the Epistles and the Acts of the Apostles and Revelation and the Gospels, so that we may know what Christ has done for us. This shapes our understanding of who the Lord is. This tells us how Christ came to fulfill the law and the nature of the whole Trinity, because God does not change. He is the same at the forming of the earth and will be the same when Christ comes again to judge the living and the dead. This is a very good promise. Now we have delved into the twofold nature of the Word of God, how the seed in this lesson refers to Christ as the Word of God, and how he is revealed in Scripture. We understand that the Word of God also refers directly to that same Scripture, how reading those words shape and form our hearts and minds and draw us into a deeper relationship with Christ. But what of the ground itself which it falls? We know the parable well. We know the seed that falls on the path, on the rock, or among the thorns, all of which hampers the growing of the seed in our hearts, how it hampers our growth and grace in God, in the grace of God. We also know and desire that when the seed of the word comes upon us, that it would be planted in the good soil of a willing heart. Upon the pathway, the devil can distract us from the good works that God has ordained for us. How often do we sit down to read the word and have a myriad of distractions pop up? How often do we go to pray to the Lord and our minds wander every which way? Upon the rocks, remind us of the hardness of our hearts, how even when we are desperate to grow in the Lord, we can grow cold and wander from his goodness. How we can believe the lies of the devil that we are not good enough and such, and good enough as such that God will ever love us. But the truth is, we are not good enough. But despite this, God loves us tremendously. So let that truth soften your hearts. The thorns that choke us out are the cares of the world that we make into false gods, that we run after instead of running after the Lord and trusting in his mercy. If you are struggling today, is all hope lost? Far be it from so. No, every day we have new mercies. Every day we are given the chance to repent from the coldness of our hearts and run back to the Lord. Pray that the Holy Spirit would be working in our hearts, would be tilling that hard soil so that the tender plants would grow big and strong. Today, you may only be beginning this process, or you may have been on this road for many years, but do not grow weary and discouraged. The monks of old had a habit of reminding themselves every time they laid down at the end of the day that they were to die to themselves, to die to all the sins of that day, so that in the morning when they rose again, they were to rise with Christ. This is a reminder to us that we too might continually be dying to those worldly desires and rising to the glory of God. So as Lent is coming to us, may each of us be in prayer that the Lord would show us the ways which we have failed to love him. May he be gently correcting our hearts and minds so that we would desire to glorify God instead of seeking out our own glory. A final and practical thought. Make time daily to read Scripture. Read them out loud if you like, that you may hear them daily. Learn to mark them. If you have an old family Bible, go buy a readable translation that you can mark up, that you can underline or circle. If you need a recommendation, what would be good, ask me. Learn the Scriptures and treasure them in the inward parts of your heart. There are gems of goodness throughout all of Scripture. There is that which you will need to wrestle with. There is that which will encourage you and prod you to repentance. Let it all work steadily in our hearts. So as Lent commences in a week and a half, let our hearts be glad with the learning, to better hear, read, mark, and inwardly digest the Word of God, that we may know the Word of God and the Word of God who became incarnate for us, that we may have a deeper walk with him, fleeing from our sins and resting the totality of our hope in him alone. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.